how good it is when sisters and brothers dwell together in unity. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and to fill us afresh, to meet with us now. Help us to bow the knee, to open our ears and our eyes to your word, that you would come and encourage us to walk in your way, and to help to burn with your glory, to burn for your glory, to be shining lamps for you. Amen. Let's sit down. I'm going to read some Bible together. I wonder if two different people might stand up and read for us from John chapter 5 and then chapter 3. If you're willing to do that, it'd be very kind. Well, what shall we say about such words? It's really quite astounding, isn't it, that Jesus would speak so clearly to religious people in quite aggressive way. Because he's not holding back, he's talking to those who imagine themselves to be holy and religious and special. And of course, in the world of religion, there are two kind of difficulties, I think. There are two issues, really, that people who profess belief will fall into, to be very legalistic and to fall back into the Bible and to use the Bible to justify all sorts of things and to kind of defend that and to take everything about their faith from that. And that can appear, you know, you think, oh, it's not very attractive. It's not to say that that's in and of itself is wrong, but if that's all you've got, that's that legalism, there can be a problem. The other side of that is people who are just kind of a little bit, you know, it's all about being nice. And as long as we're nice and we're kind and we're lovely, then that's the working of our faith. And again, there's nothing in itself that's wrong. But if that's all you've got, there is a problem. Because what Jesus is saying here is that everything is really about him. Those listening to him when he says this are not really able to receive him. He then talks about John the Baptist. I love the way he talks about John the Baptist, doesn't he? John the Baptist was a burning and shining lamp. You know, this guy with his locusts and his funny clothes and or very little clothes, who was out in the wilderness saying and doing the most extraordinary thing, and people were coming for baptism. And the religious people at the time initially quite liked him, because there's a little bit of revival, you know, it's a bit positive. More people are getting engaging with our faith, so this is good. But then, you know, it becomes quite clear the message is a little bit too hard and a little bit harsh, because John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So it's not this is one of the differences. It's not a particularly easy message for the people to receive. And of course, when John the Baptist is teaching this, coming for the baptism and for the repentance of the forgiveness of sins, meant just for the really bad people, it was for everybody to come. And this was pointing towards the one who was coming, Jesus. Offense at that. But John, what was going on for John was that he was shining, he was burning for Jesus. And that really got me asking the question of myself, do I burn for Jesus? Do I shine as a lamp for him? Or am I just into religion? either just being nice or just being all about, you know, follow the rules that we find in Scripture. Both those things are good and right and true. But followers of Jesus are meant to burn for him. It's not just about my opinion or what I think is important. The number of people who will come and tell me what they think being a Christian is and how we should be and what we should do. And then, you know, it's not, the focus is not on Jesus, actually. It's about what I think and not about what Jesus has said. Which brings me a little bit to my experiences in Canada. I imagine some of you have come along to want to know about that. Should we talk about that or not? You want to know? I think it's important to understand why I was going to Canada. Bishop Charlie, when he was here in beginning of June, had invited me to go over and basically check them out. I was there on a fact-finding tour to see if they were kosher or whether they were nuts or difficult or heretical. So I went, those of you who know me well-ish, will know that I wasn't exactly looking forward to it. And I couldn't quite put my finger on what it was that I was struggling with until I got there. I arrived in Ottawa in the evening before, there were 4 days, there was a clergy day, and then there were 3 days of synod. And when I arrived on the Monday night, having travelled from Toronto by train, on the slowest train in the world, that took, supposed to take 4.5 hours or something, and it took 6.5 because the train broke down. No, the train didn't break down. There was an accident on the line. So I arrived later than I thought. But when I got there, I'm sitting in this little room in a hotel, and I was thinking about the journey over the last few years and what I was doing in Ottawa. And I began to get really anxious about it. I was worried about being there, and I couldn't quite work out what it was. And that I prayed a little bit, and then talked to Ali a little bit about what I was feeling. And as we talked, as we prayed and talked, I kind of realized that my problem was this. I haven't been to a synod of any description for 4, maybe 5 years. How many of you have ever been to a synod? A few of you? I mean, they're always really joyful, exciting, and tremendous times. For me, my experience of synod for a long time had been this. The 2 weeks beforehand, I had been like a bear with a sore head, because I knew that there would be contentious things and it would be potentially difficult for the longest time. So for 2 weeks before, I was unbearable to live with. You ever lived with someone who's unbearable to live with? Ever? Are you still living with someone who's unbearable to live with? It was awful. And then I would go to synod, whether it was diocesan or general synod, and I would come away, and the business would be done, and the argy-bargy would be there, and I would feel spiritually depressed. I would come away, and it would take me 2 weeks to recover. I went into a kind of spiritual downer. I almost wanted to write a month of my diary out when it was coming up for synod. Now, that's me. I'm not saying that everybody feels that. That was just me. But I realized that what I was experiencing was a kind of, the way I've described it, is like a spiritual post-traumatic stress syndrome, PTSD. I was kind of suffering from this, and that explains full of trepidation. So we prayed into that would be lifted from me. So it then came to going to the day with clergy, and there were several hundred, 200 clergy maybe gathered for this day. And the guy who was speaking was a guy called Bob Duncan, who was the first Archbishop of the Anglican Church in North America, who's actually been here. He and his wife spent about a week with us a couple of years ago. So he was speaking, and it was lovely because he saw me in the group, and he treated me like an old, long-lost friend. His wife and Ali had really hit it off when they were here, so they kind of correspond with one another, which is great. So there's a welcome there, and it was all about the new prayer book that the North American Church has produced. We might hear more about that in the months to come, we might find ways to use some of the liturgy that they've introduced. But the thing that really struck me was that the agenda of the clergy, there was no argy-bargy, there was just love, there was kind of welcome, people were genuinely interested in one another, and there seemed to be nothing going on under the surface. It was pretty transparent, people were together, and their focus was glorifying Jesus. It was a beautiful day. And I, as the day went on, I have a couple of people prayed the day, and as they were just released from that sense of spiritual pressure that I felt. And then we came to Synod, and Synod was really a fascinating experience. This was one of the things that made me... there were a number of things that were kind of really impressive about it. I mean, man, the Canadians can eat, for starters, which not great because I'm not eating very much at the moment, as you can probably tell. You should be able to tell. You should be saying, yeah, we could see that. Encourage me, will you? And but the presentation was great. And in fact, the meeting was in a church that had written to us last year. A congregation had written to us and said, praying for you, supportive of you. But this wasn't just clergy, it was the lay people as well. It was a great mixture. There were male clergy, female clergy, lay people from all over Canada had gathered for this. And again, the worship was like this. Morning prayer began the day. And then there would be a Bible teaching session. They had a guy called Jim Saladin from New York, a young pastor, fantastic Bible teacher, just really, really helpful stuff, teaching the Bible. And then they would do before we got to lunch, they would do midday prayer. So we had to stop, and we just prayed together again. And at the end of the day, there was prayer in the evening as well. But more than that, everything was covered in prayer. Experience before at a synod. So someone would get up to speak. The person who was responsible for finances, for example, would come up and give the financial report. And everyone, I know that sometimes there aren't a lot of questions for the finances. We experience this. One or two people are really good at asking financial questions, but I think that's a fairly universal thing. The person gives the financial report, there's a few questions. And then this happens. The bishop, Charlie Masters, says, let's pray. And so people would gather around the finance team and pray for them. And everything was like that. Whenever anybody was speaking, they would speak, say what they needed to say, and then it would be, let's pray for them and let's pray for that ministry. And it was great. I just felt, wow, this is, you know, we've got a little bit of that as well. We try to do that as much as we can, is to pray for people as we possibly can. So the whole thing was couched in terms of prayer. Everything was prayed for. People were prayed for, and you'd see people being prayed for around the room as well. It was wonderful. The other thing that they're really passionate about is seeing the Lord build the church. You need to see the church growing, people coming to faith, winning the lost for Christ, that Jesus would be glorified. And very little about them being glorified. The closest I saw to people them being concerned about them being glorified was when it came to the opening communion service. Tuesday night, I think it was. And at this point, you begin to see the glories of what it is to be an Anglican, because you get the scruffy evangelicals turning up, one or two people not bothered to bring their robes, like me. Although I was an observer, so I wasn't going to process in. But you get people wearing the most amazing alternative kind of glorious robes, not me. My kind of thing, but that kind of broad expression of the church it reminded me very much of Scotland and my experience in Scotland as well. It felt very much at home. We could have that diversity, you know, some people are worshipping in a more charismatic style, but other people are much more prayer book. So they've got quite a lot of diversity, and sometimes that can be distracting because some people will, you know, we look at them more than we look at the Lord. That's the same in every church grouping. Desire to see Jesus lifted up, I think, was really impressive. It really encouraged me. And that desire to reach out to the whole nation of Canada. They're not a huge church. There were maybe 400 or 500 people there. They're spread across the country, and some of the churches are quite small. And the Sunday on the way back, I stopped in Toronto and went to the... I talked a little bit about this on Sunday, the shop front in Chinatown. I have two services. The building can only take about 50 people at a time, but it's mostly young people, young students, because it's quite near the university. But their desire is to see young people won for Christ. And that seemed to be universal. One of the things that really struck me was the age of the clergy as well. I mean, a lot of young clergy, and it's compulsory, I think, to be bearded. So I felt, you know, and they have all got much better beards than I could ever have. I really struggle, but you know, they're all look, and tattoos as well. My brother-in-law just sent a picture of his birthday present from the family, which was, he's got a huge tattoo of the Tree of Life on his shoulder. So I'm now thinking I'm going to need that as well, just to keep in with our Canadian friends. So all these young clergy, again, talking to them over lunch and over, and men and women clergy as well. It's quite interesting to see that kind of mixture. And there's some issues there, because there's some people who aren't very keen on ordained women. And, you know, I made it my mission to talk to both the people who weren't very keen and to some of the women who were doing ministry as well, and just to see how that was. That was partly why I was there. And, you know, there is a tension. I mean, no church is perfect. But their desire is to know Jesus and to see him glorified. And again, when I was traveling back overnight, that I was reading this passage. And that line about John the Baptist being a burning and shining lamp, it really, really stood out to me. I think many of the people in the Anglican network in Canada, that is their desire for themselves, for their churches, to be burning and shining lamps. So the question I have really for us, I think that the Lord has for us, is will we be a burning and shining lamp? Or are we just shooting for being religious or being nice? And I can't really operate in either of those worlds. You know, I can't just be legalistic, and I'm not just going to be nice, because I think neither of those, I mean, that's not why I signed up, basically, to be a follower of Jesus. It was to be a burning and shining lamp. And sometimes the fire goes out of our bellies, and we need to guard ourselves from that. I've also put down those verses from Galatians 3, verses 5 and 6. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness? And it's just that reminder, it's not me that builds the church, it's not you that builds the church, it's the Lord himself that builds the church as we are obedient to him and as we are fired up by the Holy Spirit. What happens? He supplies the Spirit to us and does miracles among us. Now, I know, you know, we've got issues, we've got problems, as individuals, but also as a church, you know, there are things that we lack. There are people that we lack. We want to see more younger people be part of the church. I want to see more middle-aged people, because we have a place as well in the life of the church. I want to see more older people in the church as well. Everybody, you know, whether it's children, teenagers, young adults, middle-aged, older people, that should be a desire. Not that they would be a bum on a seat, not that they would be making us feel better because there's a few more people coming, but that they would become people who are burning and shining as lamps for Jesus. So the watchword, the phrase that kept coming back again and again, I don't know how many times I heard it said over the course of 4 years, is we are a church who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. And it's very easy to lose that. It's very easy for a church, for the lamp to go out. You remember Revelation? You know, the lamp will be taken away. But if your goal, if your vision, if your passion is to be a church that makes disciples, that makes more disciples, that makes more disciples of Jesus, not of the church, not of the denomination, not of the pastor, but of Jesus, that our desire is to glorify him, then we're on the right track. So I see we'll have more of that in the, as we go into 2020. We're doing some seeking the Lord together. We're going to be praying together more at the beginning of January. Some more details of that are in the prayer section as well. But let's start that now. I know that church gathered, but it's a fair number. And, you know, we can kind of spread that message. Will we be like John the Baptist, a burning and shining lamp pointing to the Lord Jesus? And that's all that we're going to be about. So I pray that. I'm going to pray that for us now. Let's stand together and let's invite the Holy Spirit to fill us and encourage us. Lord, we ask ourselves in this question, do we just want to glorify one another? Do we want to just glorify one another and not seek the glory that comes from you? Oh Lord, may we desire your glory more than anything else, your presence, your touch, your love. Spare us from religion. Spare us from just being outwardly kind and nice. We don't need to be following you to grow those things in us. But we do need to glorify you if we're going to achieve anything as your followers. We need your Holy Spirit glorifying yourself in us. It is all about you. And so we thank you that we are part of a body of Christians, both in Scotland and around the world, whose desire is to glorify you. And we pray that you would do that in us tonight. You know where we're burnt out, where maybe the fire has gone out, the passion has gone out. Would you come and rekindle it tonight? Would you come and fire us up? Would you come and light us up in the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit? Come, Holy Spirit. And Lord, we do not know what you are going to do in us and through us, but just fill us with anticipation for what is to come. Bring people across our path this week, this coming week, who we are able to share you with, to talk openly about you. We think of the opportunities coming up in the coming weeks as we go out from here. May we see you at work powerfully. Think of that young couple from Dubai. They have a nosy and a look around, and there was a wonderful opportunity to talk about Jesus with them. Lord, as they got on their flight to go return to Dubai tonight, may your Holy Spirit come to them very powerfully, and may they see Jesus very, very clearly, and may they experience him in the power of the Spirit. But we pray that not just for them, we pray that for everyone who we come in contact with. Thank you for the opportunities that will come our way. May we burn and shine. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.